Joanna Demarest is here with us. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Oh, I'm wonderful. So nice to be here today.
I'm glad that you're here and appreciate your being here on a holiday weekend as well. So the Storytelling Festival gets underway on the 8th, Winchester Thurston, North Campus, the 8th and the 9th.
Correct.
And what are some of the things happening this year?
It's a free two-day festival where we'll have storytelling for children on Friday the 8th, in our storytelling for young audiences. We also have a seniors lunch. Then we go into the evening with liars contests and storytelling contests. And then Saturday, it's a full day of storytelling on two stages. It's family friendly. Again, another concert on Saturday night, as well as ending with ghost stories.
Sounds like such a great night. Now, we're going to give you information about how you can attend. It is free. It's August 8th and August 9th, but we thought we'd give you a little sample. Just what is a story? Well, you've heard stories all your life, but what's really fun is to be told a story, and it might be a long time since you were told a story by somebody if you're an adult. But Joanna has an example of a story to share with us now, and I'll turn it right over to you.
Thank you. Actually, we have four national tellers who come to the festival, well-known throughout the, both nationally and internationally, Andy Offutt Irwin, Charlotte Blake Austin, Megan Hicks, and Gregory Gibson Kinney, who actually is local. And one of the stories I'm going to tell is actually from Megan Hicks, and it's called Fracturing a Fairy Tale, so that you take it and kind of take it out of its normal genre or venue or whatever, and change it up just a little bit to make it a little bit fun. So this is the Fairy Groundhog. "Come on, Cinderella. We're going to be late for the royal ball," said the eldest stepsister. "Oh, yes, I mean," the youngest stepsister said, "you know, all of the cute guys from all of the other kingdoms are going to be there, and, oh, they're going to have the best bands, and, oh, my gosh, you know, the prince, that dreamy prince is going to be there. Come on, Cinderella, hurry up." Cinderella thought that going and spending a night with her sisters at some dance, well, she thought a root canal sounded more fun than doing that. But, girls, listen, you know, the scullery floor really needs to be washed and scrubbed, and, oh, the spice rack needs to be alphabetized, and, oh, well, oh, look out there at the garden. Oh, it really needs to be weeded. You guys go on ahead, really. "Oh, be a drudge," said the two sisters. Well, that night, it did. The two stepsisters did go off to the ball, and Cinderella, the scullery floor was sparkling clean, and she'd alphabetized the spice rack, and, well, she was sitting out in the garden in a row of lettuce, just sitting there pulling the weeds. "I wonder," she thought, "will I ever find anything as fun as my sisters seem to feel getting dressed up into skimpy dresses and going and dancing all night? That will I ever find anything as fun as that? So, you want to go?" "Oh, what?" Cinderella turned around trying to see what was behind her, and there, standing between the rows of lettuce, was a rather fat groundhog standing up on its hind legs and eating one of the slugs that had gotten caught in her beer trap for that she'd set out the night before. "Really quite good. Low sodium, nice texture. I really kind of like this beer marinade thing you got going on here. Quite nice." Cinderella was dumbstruck. "Well," groundhog picked up another slug, popped it in her mouth, burped just a little bit, and said, "So, you want to go?" "Why would I want to?" said Cinderella. "Well, you're beautiful and mysterious, and all of the women would be jealous of you, and all of the men would want to dance with you, and, well, and then, of course, you'd fall in love with that dreamy prince. Well, said Cinderella, I'm not sure about that. I'm not beautiful, and I'm about as mysterious as a cold shower, and, well, that prince, he's really quite a jerk. The groundhog stopped and went, but I don't understand. They told me that all human females really wanted to, do this. This was their dream. Says Cinderella, I never really bought into that dream. No, maybe it's because I'm not beautiful and, I don't even own any dresses. And, well, and I don't even have the fairy godmother to put the whole package together. Oh, said the groundhog. Well, I will say you are rather plain and, well, your clothes are rather subdued and you are sort of, well, blunt. But, you do have an ace in the hole, so to speak. You have me. And you are? Asked Cinderella. Why, I'm your fairy groundhog. And she pulled out her wand and with a swoosh and dribbled off the little bits of fairy dust. Why would I want a fairy groundhog? Oh, the groundhog's shoulders slumped. They told me that you'd be disappointed that any human with any self-respect would believe in a fairy groundhog. But, oh, well, you're supposed to be my senior project. I'm supposed to come down and take and make you into something wonderful. Who is this they that you keep talking about? Asked Cinderella. Why, Gaga. Gaga? Well, yes, Grimm's Accredited Godmother Academy. You're supposed to be my project for my senior year. Oh, well, I guess I'm not making it very easy on you, are I? No, you're not, said the groundhog. Oh, all right, said Cinderella, I'll go. Oh, wonderful, said the groundhog, and she pulled out her wand, and she started, oh, but, no ringlets in my hair. Said Cinderella. Oh, okay, said the groundhog, and she started to get, no, and make it something simple, in black. Fine, said the groundhog, and with a swish of her wand, all of a sudden there stood Cinderella in a long black skirt with a black silk top, and Cinderella looked down and went, okay, not bad. Oh, I'm not done, said the groundhog. No, accessorizing is 20% of my grade. And with a ping, there were gold loops at her ears. With a zing, there was a diamond choker around her neck. And with a ping, there was a Gucci bag on her arm. And a bibbidi-bobbidi-boo! And there, Cinderella was tottering in a pair of 3-inch glass slippers. Lose the shoes! Said Cinderella. I can't. It's the test of permanent transmogrification. They're mandatory. No, if you have mandatory that I walk at this thing, you better lose the shoes. Oh, fine, said the groundhog. And there, with another swish of her wand, Cinderella had on a pair of black, high-top, lace-up Converse tennis shoes. Awesome, said Cinderella. Okay, now transportation, said the groundhog. Horse-drawn carriage or limo? Taxi, said Cinderella. Oh, all right. And with another swish, there was a yellow and black taxi cab. All right, now, said the groundhog. Now, the magic, it starts to, oop! And Cinderella had picked up the groundhog and dropped her into the Gucci bag. What's going on? Said the groundhog. Look, if I have to go to this shindig, I at least want somebody to talk to. And so they got into the taxi cab and off they went to the ball. And it actually turned out to be not quite such a bad night. When Cinderella got there, well, the prince, he was off with a whole gaggle of girls around her, so she really didn't have to worry about him. And her stepsisters, though she saw them from across the room, before they could get to her, the caterer had come up and mistaken her for being one of her black uniformed waitstaff. And he said to her, here, go, get another tray of escargot. So Cinderella went off to the kitchen, and that's where she spent the rest of her night in delightful conversation with the caterer, and she was actually quite taken with the sparkle in his eye and his balding spot. And the rest of the evening there she helped him, and, well, the groundhog, she got to eating some of those snails and ate so many that she just fell asleep in that Gucci bag. Until the gong of the midnight clock. Oh, the groundhog woke up. Oh, Cinderella, Cinderella, the magic, it wears off at midnight. But she looked around, and Cinderella was nowhere to be seen. You see, she was over in the corner next to the walk-in freezer with the caterer, sharing love's first kiss. And it was a long kiss. That kiss lasted for 12 gongs of that clock. And at that last gong, there was a ping, zing, ding, and there stood Cinderella in a grubby work shirt, dirty pants, dirty fingernails, and hair flying. The caterer stepped back and went, "Wow, cool trick," and went right back to kissing Cinderella. Yes, all in all, that night, it was a wonderful night. For the fairy godmother, she passed her exams. She graduated from Gaga with distinction. And though she found out that American young girls like to have their fairy godmothers show up in big pinky poof dresses, and she decided that she didn't really want to do that. Instead, she went back to Gobbler's Knob, Pennsylvania, and she opened up a restaurant called Mullock's Some More. And Cinderella gave her all of the marinated beer slugs that she could use, and the caterer friend gave her all kinds of tips. And, well, the Cinderella, it was a good night for her, too. Here she now was in a thriving business with the groundhog, and she had a prince of a sweetheart and a pair of shoes that her stepsisters would die for.
That is Joanna Deberis. Where did you learn that story?
Megan wrote that story a few years ago. I heard her perform it at the National Storytelling Conference, and I asked her if I could use it, and she gave me her permission.
Ah, it really well told. What a lot of people might not realize, and what I want to be sure you know, is that as Joanna shared that with you, that she was looking straight at me. That was done, you know, extemporaneously. Storytellers are not story readers, they are storytellers.
Exactly.
Telling them a little bit differently every time and always engaging with the audience. So now that you've heard that story, maybe you would like to know even a little bit more about the Three Rivers Storytelling Festival. You've been telling stories for 20 plus years or so to children and adults. And some of the other tellers you mentioned, Stacey Keene is going to be here, and I think I've heard her on The Moth on public radio a few times.
Yes, absolutely. One of the things that we're doing for this year's festival is we're expanding and reaching out to more and different audiences, and that young adult audience that loves The Moth and loves that personal story tales, we're going to be having an event at the festival for that, and Stacey will be having a true story party as well during the festival.
And some of the other tellers this year, Mary Morgan Smith, who is here locally, she's really sort of the godmother of some of the storytelling activities that occur here. Really, the best thing to do to get complete information is to go to the website. And how can you find that?
Yes, you can just type in Three Rivers Storytelling Festival. It's 3RTSF. .org. And most of the information's up there. We're still working on the website just a little bit, but all the information will be up in the next week or so.
Now, every week it's going to be our pleasure to have a different storyteller here as we work to preview the festival over the coming weeks. And I think I've got the complete schedule in front of me here. We're going to have Mike Kenley. Or is it Mike Kennelly?
Kennelly
is going to be here next week, and then Stacey Keene will be here July 19th. And then on July 26th, we have Mary Morgan Smith that's mm-hmm. going to be joining us. And this is all part of the completely free Three Rivers Storytelling Festival. And if you go to that website, it's the numeral 3RSTF.org. You can also learn about workshops that are being given, so you can either try developing some skills in this area or sharpening skills in this area. And storytelling is a good thing to learn if you're an attorney, a teacher, a mother, a father. Really, just about anybody can apply the skills in storytelling to either a useful or just fun thing to do, or maybe a little bit of both.
Absolutely. I work with all ranges, from children through adults. I am actually working with a group of attorneys right now as far as working how to use storytelling within their business. It's a trade that most people have sort of forgotten about, but it's something that has become recently, everyone is now talking about how storytelling can improve what they do.
So. Well, Joanna, thank you for being here with us. And I was going to ask if there's anything else you'd like to add.
Yeah, I do want to thank the Grable Foundation for the support that they have given us this year, actually for the last 2 years. They're supporting our youth program and our new youth teller program, where we're going to have youth tellers actually at the festival as well. So I wanted to give a shout out for them as well.
Well, terrific. We really appreciate all that the Grable Foundation does in our region, and they've done so much to improve lives for children and youth in our area. And, you know, we have a second. Do you have any details on the youth activities?
Yes. The first one is for storytelling for young audiences. There's two sessions of that on Friday, one in the morning and one in the afternoon. And then on Saturday, we have a new program, which is the youth tellers, so that the tellers from elementary school through high school, they're going to be coming out. They're going to be having a workshop with Megan Hicks to learn to hone their skills. And then in the evening at 4 o'clock, there's actually going to be a youth teller concert. So it'll be all youth tellers up there, getting a chance to really, you know, spread their wings and find a way of creating something new for themselves.
That's coming up then on August 9th. So you can learn more about the Three Rivers Storytelling Festival August 8th and 9th. And it's at the Winchester Thurston North Campus. Again, the website is 3rstf.org, the numeral 3rstf.org. Joanna Demarest, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Larry. I appreciate it.